Every bride looks forward to her wedding day and hopes that everything is just perfect. Now, when Rachel Jones walked down the aisle in 2012, she couldn't see where she was going or her future husband waiting for her. Born with a degenerative eye condition, her sight deteriorated dramatically just before her wedding. And as her sight worsened, she struggled to leave the house, but after she got help from a vision rehab specialist, she says that her life is better now than ever. And Rachel joins me now. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Was your wedding day, was it everything you hoped it would be?
It was. It really was. It was a lovely, lovely day. I couldn't have asked probably for better. It was in 2012, so the summer had been pouring down with rain. Our venue had been flooded just a month prior, so I was panicking probably more about the weather than anything else. But on the day, it was beautiful sunshine. It couldn't have been more perfect in that regard. But it was a lovely day.
And as I mentioned, you have a degenerative eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa is a diagnosis. But prior to your wedding, things seemed to get worse very quickly, didn't they?
Yes, they did. So I was diagnosed with RP when I was about 7. I was picked up in school because I was struggling to see the blackboard, and I had all the typical RP symptoms of tunnel vision and night blindness. So my opticians actually picked it up and they referred me on to the hospital. But I didn't really have much else support other than knowing that I had this really long word that I couldn't pronounce when I was a young child. So then I kind of just went through mainstream school and then went on to university. And it was just at the tail end of university that I was kind of noticing a change in my vision, quite a dramatic drop off, especially when I was looking at things like computer screens or changing light levels. Things were starting to get a little more tricky. So then I went to my optician, who referred me back again to a hospital, this time properly for the first time to see a consultant when I was an adult. And then I was diagnosed also with a macular edema in both eyes. So my central vision was starting to be affected as well. So I was struggling to see small details, to carry on reading things. I had to use magnification and things like that. So I was. This was all kind of leading up to the wedding as well. And then I was just registered partially sighted about 6 months or so before the wedding, but I didn't really actually talk about it very much to most people. I think I kept it quite bottled up, didn't really tell people how I was struggling. I suppose because I've kind of always struggled with my vision in a way from when I was very young, the struggle was almost quite normal. So I just carried on struggling and didn't really think about, asking for help or things like that. I just thought, well, I've got to get on with things. And especially when if you're somebody like me who's a complete control freak, and I organised every aspect of my wedding as well. I had to have everything the way I wanted it to be. Bless my husband for putting up with me. But, I was very much in control. And, the idea of saying, oh, I couldn't do something, that was really quite daunting at the time,
So when did you actually start accepting that, things just weren't right?
It took quite a long time. Although I was diagnosed when I was very young and I kind of knew that, sight loss was in my future, I think part of my brain thought, well, this isn't going to happen to me. I'm sure it's not going to happen to me. I think there's a bit of human nature. You just kind of deny things a little bit. So I was in denial for quite a while about it. And then it finally got to a point where I had to stop working. I was working in a hotel and I was really, really struggling. And it got to the point where it was like, oh, okay, something's got to change now. So I asked the doctor to refer me back to the hospital for a checkup. And then the consultant talked everything through. He was an amazing consultant. And he said, now it's the time to kind of designate you as severely sight impaired. I knew obviously this probably would be coming, but it was still a little bit of a shock, I think, for it to come so soon. I was about 33 when it happened. I always expected perhaps to be a lot bit older when sight loss finally hit me. But obviously I was in my early 30s. So, it was a difficult thing to accept. And then when I finally did get over the, you know, my biggest barrier was myself in a way. When I finally did get over it, it was so much better afterwards. And there was the relief, I think, as well of, you know, finally, okay, you know, I'm in the right place. I've got the right support. It's a lot of relief after then as well. And I think you go through stages a bit like a bereavement. I think sight loss is a loss like a bereavement. And I think you kind of have to go through all those different stages to finally then accept your sight loss, which I managed to do. And then in 2017, everything kind of changed from that point onwards. And I got the right help. As you say, I was pretty much housebound. I didn't really want to go outside. You know, I'd stopped working, which was a huge shift, you know, emotionally, you know, financially, all these issues were kind of piling up. And I was kind of stuck in my house. My husband had to go out and work so much because I was no longer providing, you know, an extra wage. So it kind of, you know, it was getting to a point where, you know, I needed the right help. Thankfully, I got the right help and it just turned my life around. I can't explain how different things are now to what they were when I was struggling.
Tell us a bit about the actual support that you got, because it obviously worked for you.
Oh, it did, yes. Yeah. So I have to credit my eye care liaison officer, first and foremost. She was absolutely fantastic. As soon as I'd left the hospital, I'd pretty much got a phone call from her. She explained everything really clearly. You know, because when you go into a hospital and you have all this medical jargon kind of said to you from a consultant, I think most of it goes over your head anyway. So it was great to have that kind of human, you know, link. And she told me everything, what was going to happen, how long I would probably wait for things. I ended up not waiting too long for the local sensory team, which I was really lucky and grateful for. I had a rehabilitation officer come out to see me. She worked with me for about 6 months, I think, over the winter. And bless her, she came out when it was the beast from the east, and we still did mobility training in the snow. She was absolutely determined to get me going and get me out, which was brilliant. So, you know, like you said, I did mobility training. She taught me how to use a long cane, took me on, you know, train journeys, public transport, things like that, so I'd get more confident. Then, you know, she went through other things like daily living skills, so adapting my kitchen so that I could, you know, pour a cup of tea properly, you know, with a liquid level indicator and with all the bump-ons on the cooker, all these little adaptations she did for me. And just, you know, going through things like, you know, what benefits I was entitled to, which obviously then, you know, took the financial strain off my husband a little bit as well, which was, you know, much needed. And just getting me into a positive space. She really got me confident, got me independent. Then I started to go out and do a bit of volunteering work. And then, you know, I'm now at the point where I am an RNIB volunteer. And I've also set up my own charity with a few other people from my local area as well. So I do so much volunteer. I'm so busy now with volunteering. I kind of have to, you know, make sure I have a break every so often because I'm, you know, gone from housebound to, you know, not stopping really, which is brilliant.
As a woman, and for other women listening just now who have been facing perhaps or are facing similar things, did you find that it affected the way you felt about yourself and your confidence as a woman?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You know, simple things from not being able to do your makeup, which I think some people might take for granted, like, you know, I like to have makeup on, or I like to have my hair done. Those aren't things that I can really do well myself. You know, I can try my best. But, you know, it's little things that, you know, you want to feel sort of feminine. You want to have your makeup done or hair done for a special occasion. So I have to make sure that I've got plenty of notice that I can get somebody else to do these things for me, which, you know, is an extra step I have to think about. I have to credit my husband. He is brilliant. He dyes my hair. He plucks my eyebrows. He is really very good. I will absolutely credit him with how much he helps me. But it is, you know, just feeling confident that you're wearing something nice when you go outside, that you've not, you know, put the dress on backwards or things like that, you know, is very, very difficult, I think, as a woman. It's always, there's always seems to be extra steps risks that I have to take, just to kind of be on a level playing field in a way. And, you know, it was really great for me to have a woman who was a rehabilitation officer as well. That was something I wasn't quite expecting. Somebody my own age as well, I wasn't quite expecting that. I was kind of assuming it might be perhaps somebody a bit more older, a bit authoritative, maybe a male person come in. But to have a woman come and help me as well, that I can't really underestimate that enough. You know, it was really beneficial to me.
And of course, there's a call going out saying that, well, like in a lot of places, but in Wales in particular, there's a lack of these kind of services to help support people that are in positions like you or with other disabilities. So the work that you're doing as a volunteer is really making a difference.
I hope so, yes. You know, I'm just coming across other people now who are in the same place as I was. So it's been really rewarding for me to be able to talk to them. I mean, it's part therapy, I suppose, for myself to talk about all the issues I went through. But hopefully it is actually helping other people, you know, other young people who are struggling. I remember very vividly when I was in school, it was a real blow when all the other kids my age were learning to drive, but that was something I could never participate in. And it was a challenge, I think, when you're a teenager, when you're hormonal anyway, and to kind of feel different and feel a bit excluded as well. That was a tough thing to go through. So hopefully now I've gone through all that and I can help advise other young people that, you know, it's not as big of a deal. It's not the end of the world as you always think it is. And perhaps the best thing about not being able to drive is you can always go out and have a drink and you never have to worry about drink driving ever. So that was always my positive I took for it. I never had to be the designated driver on a night out. So
yeah, and I was thinking, you know, I was trying to look at something here that's a basis for all you've done. And I think for a lot of us who are living with sight loss, it's this acceptance that we need to find, because I did all the same things as you, the kind of denial, and I know it's coming, but you know, maybe it won't. And so you don't really prepare yourself until you're actually forced into that position. And I still say that I don't prepare myself for things properly because I still live in that kind of denial, I think, about.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I was the biggest barrier to myself. You know, I really was. I kept myself from doing things that I really should have. You know, I kept myself from accepting help when it was kind of offered. And I just wasn't ready. And I think sometimes you just have to be in the right place to be ready. Sometimes it takes people longer than others. But it is really, you do have to think about it in terms of, you know, a bit like a bereavement. You have to go through these stages, I think, just to get through them and to kind of come to terms with it. You do have to be in the right space at the right time. And it's really difficult because, you know, as I say, I went to a mainstream school. I never knew anything about sight loss. I was not part of a sight loss community at all, you know, until very, very recently. I didn't know anybody else with sight loss, especially people my own age. When I was in my, you know, early to mid-20s, I was going to the eye clinics and I was always the youngest person sat in the waiting room, never saw anybody quite like myself. And I was kind of, in a way, isolated even more so because I just didn't have anybody else around me who knew what I was going through, you know. And as well, I think during school, I didn't have the right support. I wasn't really taught anything about sight loss in a mainstream school. You know, I didn't have any kind of special assemblies or anything like that even about, you know, what people go through when they lose their sight. I was really quite, you know, didn't have the right knowledge. And when you lose your sight as well, you don't suddenly wake up the next day and know everything about it either. It's not some kind of magical download into your brain where you'll know everything about sight loss as soon as you've lost your sight. So it's really important to try then to have people who've got the same experiences as you around you and talk to them and find out what they went through, how they dealt with things. Because I suppose, you know, you're not alone in the situation. You feel very alone, but you're never alone. You know, there's so many people out there who can offer you help and advice and support. And it's just being lucky enough, I suppose, to be in the right place at the right time to get it.
And if you're listening just now and any of this resonates with you, remember you can get in touch with RNIB for a bit of advice on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Sight loss is about acceptance, and when you get that help, don't think that you're going to have to constantly get help, because that might be a springboard all you need to get on to the next stage of your life. Rachel Jones, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you down there in Wales, and we wish you the best for the future.
Oh, thank you very much.